And right now, we are joined on the show by Tony Bennett. Thanks for coming in today, Tony.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I believe last time we had you here was during the release of the Detritus Project for the Dames. It's good to have you back here with...
Yeah, it's good to be doing something in a physical space again. I don't really... this is actually one of the first times I've really interacted with another human in a while. Not literally, but a normal pre-pandemic interaction.
That's... Definitely. I think even though... Like you said, it's like not the first one. It still seems like I get that feeling, whatever I'm doing, if there's slightly more people than there was before,
right,
it's
kind right,
of like
right.
a mind blowing. I think that probably
exactly
resonates as well with everybody.
Yeah,
with everybody.
It's
out
good
there.
To see you.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. So we've got this new album out called Fun's Over. What was the as the fun is starting to come back?
Yeah.
So what was the inspiration behind this album? More time on your hands during the pandemic? Had it been in the works longer than that?
The latter, yeah. I had to spend Cars and Trucks, we kind of petered out around the 5 years ago or something, and I had brought a couple of these songs to that band just to try out and maybe record a fourth album, but it sort of became clear that we were kind of reaching the end of our run for whatever reason, we all still are great friends, but it just, whatever that was, it kind of ended. But I ended up taking those songs, pairing them with some other ones, and I said, well, I'm going to make a solo album. And around the same time, I mean, I've done stuff by myself before, but I wanted to make something that was under my own name and had more of a rock edge to it, and it wasn't just a sad boy with an acoustic guitar music, which was kind of what my first solo record was. So I don't know. I'd always wanted to be a drummer. I love drummers more than anything, and I had just never really gotten to learn to play the drums because I always played with the drummer in the Dames and Cars and Trucks was a lefty, so I could never sit and screw around in his drum kit after practice, which is the only way I would have been able to learn. But I don't know. At a certain point, I got a $50 first act kids drum set, and I was like, I'm going to learn how to play a little bit on this, and then I'm going to record the record with this, and it's going to be a really bizarre, crappy, lo-fi, crazy-sounding thing. And I think at some point I kind of... I didn't realize what I was getting into with that whole idea. I thought it would be kind of endearing and fun, and instead it started sounding... off-putting or something to me.
Yeah.
So I kind of pushed it aside for a while. And then, of course, pandemic comes along and I'm sitting around going, well, I suppose I should try and accomplish something because I know I'll kick myself if I don't. And I went and listened to some of those tracks and I ended up kind of liking them. And I just decided to go with that impulse. And I just said, you know what? Hell with it. I'm going to finish these. I'm going to, I'm just going to have it be what it is. So it's kind of a weird position to be in where I'm normally I put out a record, I'm like, here's this thing I'm super proud of. And check it out. It rocks. It sounds great. Whatever. And this is more like, okay, yeah, I love all these songs, but I know that it's weird sounding and I don't know if it would have gotten finished if it hadn't been for the pandemic. So, I can blame a worldwide pandemic, a once in a generation, hopefully, thing.
Yeah,
for the quality of my album is I'm blaming the quality of this album on a disease.
Well, you're giving it a low bar, but I think that I think it sounds great.
Oh, thanks.
And the drumming, I don't think people would be able to, immediately put their finger on that was an instrument that you had learned recently. What's it like to, you've been playing music, I'm guessing, for much of your life to learn an instrument? How was that? Was it a lot of trial and error?
Well, I think I've always been a drummer in my head.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been able to, I write songs with specific beats and I program the drum machine and I'm aware of when I'm programming a drum machine that, this is back, I don't really make drum demos for my bands anymore, but back in the day I used to really be like, okay, I've got to make sure that this is physically possible so I can't have three hands hitting drums at the same time. So I've always kind of thought like that. And I mean, I could talk about drummers all day long, just my favorites and which ones move me. But, just kind of really settling into trying to learn it It was stupid of me to buy a 3/4 size drum kit. I mean, I'm a 6'4 guy, you know. I'm hunched behind this tiny little kit and I'm trying to figure stuff out. But it's applicable. You can figure out, you know, limb independence and stuff like that. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of crazy because now I actually feel a lot better about my drumming now than when I started recording this a few years ago. So I've actually got a big boy drum set now, and I feel like I can play it a lot better, and I've got a lot more, I can make it work a lot better than that. So I think, you know, the next solo album, that's the one that I'm going to have to stand behind, and I won't be able to make any excuses anymore.
This is the fast. I think that's a good lesson for. Just makes me think of when I was a kid, and I went and bought like a kind of just secondhand skateboard, and skateboarding wasn't for me, and I didn't put a lot of money into it. That skateboard went by the way, and I haven't skateboarded since then. So, you know.
Yeah, I never skateboarded either. I've always feel like that passed me by too. Maybe we got to start skateboarding.
Yeah. Well, a good lesson, you know, get the drum kit, whatever's available, and if you kind of progress, feel good about your drumming and want to put that out there, then you can go get the big boy.
Yeah.
The full drum kit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I didn't want to I felt like I reached a certain bar with it, and I was like, okay, I like this enough, or I've done it enough to where I'm going to actually put some time into it. But yeah, it's kind of weird. I thought it was going to be a sort of a cool Guided by Voices lo-fi basement sound, and it's
a great thing to strive for.
Yeah, the thing that I learned is that you can't make a tiny little toy cymbal sound like anything other than a tiny little toy cymbal, no matter how much you EQ it. So that's a lesson for all you youngsters out there. Garbage in, garbage out.
Well, I believe in your promo you referenced an album that was made by instruments, right? From Self?
Oh yeah, I've never heard that album, but for some reason I had heard about it years ago, many years ago, and I heard a couple of tracks or something, but it stuck in my mind like, "Oh, you can make a weird album in a weird scenario with weird instrumentation and make something out of it." So that was my idea going in, but you know, I didn't really have a concept that was that good. I just had a, you know, guy playing junk instruments in his basement thing, and that's what it sounds like. So garbage in, garbage out.
Well, let's hear something from
and
let the listeners decide if they believe it's garbage out.
And they can go to Anthony Bennett and .bandcamp.com. Here I am selling myself.
Always a pleasure. All right, let's take a listen. This was the single, I believe, from it. It's the opening song on the album. It's called "I'm a Politician," and this was the single that you put out ahead of time.
Yeah. It's been a big. It's doing better than Billie Eilish's new single, so I'm very proud of it.
You heard it here first. Let's take a listen. This is "I'm a Politician" from Tony Bennett.
Oh,
That is I'm a Politician from Tony Bennett, sorry, and his new album Fun's Over. I think the drumming sounds pretty good. So what were some drum inspirations for you? So you've always been a drummer in your head. Well, it just hasn't come out. What are some of your favorite drummers?
Oh, we could just go forever on this one. Well, no, I should say that obviously none of my drumming matches anyone that I'd mention. But I mean, all the titans, you know, Bonham and Ian Paice from Deep Purple, I love, or like, let me think, like Bev Bevan from The Move, or I could literally just list people for the next hour. But I just love people that can put it together. You know, when I was growing up, it was people like Dave Grohl or Matt Cameron. So I don't know. I just I've always been fascinated by drumming and when people really get a good sound going or a real mix of tones and the beat choices that they make and stuff. I really react to it.
Yeah, when you were talking about making sure to not write something that you had to have three hands, it makes me think of Tony Allen, the Afrobeat drummer, who I think passed away a few years ago, but that was kind of his thing. People said he drummed, like the patterns were like he had, you know, three hands.
Did he play with Fela Kuti?
Yep, he was in the Fela Kuti early on, I think, and then kind of struck out and did his own thing. But
Lifetime, was that him?
I believe that is him. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all. I mean, yeah.
That's something where I was thinking about. You know, that was his thing. He was drumming like he had three arms.
I mean, I can when I you know I'll get lost in a Buddy Rich hole on YouTube like anyone, but. You know, I know that in my lifetime I will never approach anything remotely like that, but I just, when I can see a drummer, you know, speak that language like that, it's just so great to me. I'd rather watch a drummer play a drum solo than a guitar player play a guitar solo, and I've been a guitar player my whole life, basically.
I wonder if that's, guitarists have gotten their due. It's almost like, let's give the drummer more.
Give the drummer some. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think the drummers like to talk about guitar players, and guitar players like to talk about drummers. You know, it's a way of getting out of your box or something. Yeah. I don't know.
And then the bassist is just kind of left behind.
The bass. Yeah, no one talks to the bassist. They're just in the other room.
Well, switching up a little bit. What about for subject matter for the album as well? We've got songs like I'm a Politician, Starting a War, Lies, inspired by what's going on around you.
Well,
how do you kind of put together the lyrics for this project?
Normally, I've kind of historically just not really thought that much about lyrics. Like I tend to look at it like... you know, and I thought this was weird when I was younger, but as I got older, I realized it was something that a lot of people do, where it's just you're kind of just writing, you know, impressionistic, you know, just lines that go together, and you know if line one and line two should lead to a third line, you know, you kind of know that you have to write something that fits with the other ones, you know, but you're not necessarily sitting there going, okay, I'm going to write a song about this topic or whatever. But there are a few on this record. Like there's that Holy Smoke song, and then there's one called Lies. The one called Lies is literally just a list of untruths that people tell you. And then Holy Smoke is I'm just, you know, raging against organized religion, which is one of my favorite topics. But, you know, and maybe there's one or two other ones that might have something like that. But I would say the majority of my stuff always, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, what project or band or whatever, it's just kind of imagery, wordplay, goofing around, you know. I generally want things to be not inscrutable, but sort of up to the listener to decide what I'm talking about, or even if what word I'm pronouncing. It doesn't even matter to me if they get it all or not, you know, as long as it sings well and has good rhythm to it and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I don't want to say, so definitely not filler, but kind of it's in there as like a placeholder with the music around it.
I wouldn't say placeholder because it goes to the final product, but it's just kind of, you know, it's when you're writing a song, you're not writing a story. You're not, and I do that too. I write, so I know how to be direct and write in that regard. And you're not trying to be silly and goofy, you know, like trying to write things on purpose that are weird or odd or something like that. It's just a matter of, you know, you want to sing something, but if you're not inspired to speak on a certain topic or something, I often find that I just open my mouth and a couple of words will tumble out, and then I'll turn back around and grab onto those words and sing them, and then before you know it, you've got a sentence or a mm-hmm. line, and then you know, okay, well, that line, you know, that needs a follow-up line. The part two to that is the second line or whatever. So it's kind of just, it follows from whatever the first step is, I think.
On this,
I don't know. It's not something I've really talk about that often. So I don't even know if this makes any sense at all.
No, I think it definitely makes sense. There's many different ways to write lyrics and to put lyrics in songs.
Yeah,
no one is
right
or wrong, and they can have so many different uses. I think.
You think about I mentioned Guided by Voices. It's like, I know that Robert Pollard tends to write. He comes up with a song title, and then he writes a set of lyrics, and then he goes back and writes the music to fit the lyrics. And that's not something I do at all. That seems totally alien to me, but that's the way he does it. So it's, I'm sure every person is somewhat different.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I think my favorite Guided by Voices song, it's kind of ridiculous, is Hot Freaks. And he just kind of yells the phrase Hot Freaks over and over and over again.
And you're like, okay, man, Hot Freaks, sure. I don't know if you're pro Hot Freaks or anti Hot Freaks. You're just Hot Freaks.
Yeah, and you're emphatic about it. So this next song we're going to hear is the second song off the album. It's called Starting a War, and it's got some more acoustic guitars in, like a little mellower than that opener. Anything else?
Actually, this one, this one has a little bit of something in it. Like I was thinking about the Bush Doctrine during the Second Gulf War, the Afghanistan, you know, after 9/11, there was that idea where you should just go around attacking people.
Yeah.
And I guess I turned that into a song. I wasn't sitting around going, I want to criticize George Bush, or I want to specifically pick on that idea. But I think I was thinking, well, what if you use that philosophy in your normal interpersonal relationships?
Yeah, like a war hawk at the grocery store kind of thing.
Sure.
That should be a song title. Well, let's take a listen. We'll be right back. Starting a War from Tony Bennett and his new album, Fun's Over. So right now, in this current age, people are coming out of the pandemic, and it's such a weird time to be a musician. You know, it seems like most musicians make just about all their revenue, you know, touring, merch, and
yeah.
What's it like kind of... You are not on Spotify or other streaming services. Like, what's it like putting your product out there, and how do you kind of navigate that?
Well, number one, the word product makes me want to barf.
Sorry.
No, not because you used it. It's just there's a lot of people that use words like content and product and stuff like that, and I've never really seen it that way. It's always, music to me has always been almost like this sacred thing that just has... you know, saved my life and has kept me alive in so many ways. And it's just like, it's this thing that I can't help but doing. It's like, you know, when you know, surfers talk about surfing or something where they're, it's like a religious experience. That's kind of how it's always been for me. And so it's, so it is hard. Like when I was in my 20s and stuff, I had all kinds of energy for, you know, designing CD artwork and, you know, doing revisions and all these things. And like, you know, the last Dames record, I put a ton of time and energy and work into designing that. And then, you know, as you're getting older, I'm talking about me, as I'm getting older, I'm in my 40s now. I'm like, how do I even know what to do anymore? And what's the appropriate steps to take when you're making a weird basement album? Like, you know, I'm not going to press up 1,000 CDs because I don't even know. I mean, I haven't played a show since 2019 at this point. You know, the Dames are going to take a break and get back together in early 2020. And that went where we all know that went into the toilet. But yeah, it's like I don't have those questions are present, but I don't know how to answer them. I don't know. I mean, the idea of self-promoting, even like coming and talking to you, is that's easy. But and fun, and I appreciate it, but it kind of butts up against how I feel, which is like I'm just supposed to be making music, and I don't want to have to sell people a product. I don't want to have to knock on someone's door and try and sell them a vacuum cleaner. You know, I don't want to be a door-to-door salesman. I kind of, you know, when the Dames were on our first run, we did some touring, and I was like, man, I kind of don't think this is the life for me, just because, you know, you're just riding in a van all day just and then hoping that you can sell a few T-shirts at the end of the night. And there's just so much commerce involved with music that I think it's kind of a shame. But at the same time, that's the nature of the game, and that's the way it goes. And if you've got promotional people and all kinds of other people behind you, you can get more views, get more hits, get more plays, whatever. So it's a weird place to be, I think, for musicians right now, because... You know, if you like, I don't want to go and sit on a chair and play my acoustic guitar in a coffee shop really anymore. I've tried that; it wasn't for me. You know, I think the answer is I don't have an answer, and I'm not sure. But I think people should go to anthonybennett.bandcamp.com and pay $6.99 for my new record. That's all. That's the only thing that I can say that anyone, you know, that's the only control that I have is. Hey, if you like pop rock songs, I made some. Go check it out. They're cheap.
Yeah. Bandcamp is a service that at least, you know, I don't make music and put it out there in art. So I'd be interested to get your thoughts on it. But it seems like many musicians feel good about Bandcamp and the way that they treat artists, you know, compared to the other big streaming giants, and even our own band Low, you know, very outspoken about how Spotify treats artists, how the profits are doled out.
It's unbelievable. If people really knew how much the rise of Spotify and Apple Music and any all the streaming services, I mean, turning music into like Netflix or something, it's meant that music is more accessible to the people that want to listen to it. But the people that make it are, you know, if you can get a million plays on Spotify and you're not making $1 million, you're not. I mean, you're. I've heard some horror stories about people getting tiny little checks, you know, of a few bucks.
Yeah, I think it's like to make like a minimum wage equivalent, it's, you know, many, many millions of streams.
And artists have always been screwed over by the fat cats that run the companies, but it's, you know, it's I feel so disconnected from that world too, because I don't want to play in that world. And I've gotten to the age where it's like, leave it to the 20-year-olds. Mm-hmm. You know, I've played that game. I've done it, but I still have the urge to make music and to do what I've always done. But it is a little bit weird because it's, you don't know how to take those steps. You don't know how to get yourself, you know, I'm promoting my album like on my Facebook page and stuff. And,
yep.
And I'm like, what am I anymore? it's like, it's hard to even, it's, you know, I say that when I look in the mirror every morning though, too. What am I anymore? Mm. No, I'm just being dark, but yeah.
So are there any plans to play out and about in the future? Is that kind of on hold for now? You mentioned the Dames. There was plan to get back together before COVID and all that. Any plans to play some shows?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Dames are trying to. We're still. I don't know. All of us had our lives radically changed, as have so many people out there, obviously. But yeah, we're still trying to pick up some of the pieces and put our lives back together a little bit, and as far as what we're doing for money and work and stuff. So it's like. So we're trying to figure that out a little bit, but we're all in on, you know, we're all vaxxed and ready to go. But again, it's like, okay, we're all in our 40s now. I mean, and the people that, you know, do people still want to hear crushing heavy rock music anymore? It seems so unpopular and unwanted, and I don't know. I guess it was that way when we first started in Duluth, too. I mean, when we got started in the 90s, in the late 90s, it was like... We were outliers then too, so I don't know. But it's do we want to make a record? We want to, you know, play some shows. But it's, but I don't know what world is waiting for us anymore. And you know, maybe we'll get Cars and Trucks playing again too. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to know what's awaiting us, or what kind of shows we could even have. I mean, are people going to want to go to shows anymore? Do they want to? There's still a lot of questions, even though it feels like we're sort of at the end of this crazy time.
Yeah, absolutely. I have been to a few outdoor events, you know, very far away from being crammed into a...
Yeah.
You know, that's doesn't seem like it's in...
I haven't even ventured out at all. Was it just bizarre, weird time, or was it fun? Or
it was pretty fun. You know, it just is like it's a very slippery slope, because it just seemed like, I don't know, it's always this, you don't want to judge, and you just don't know what other people's situations are, but it's like such a weird feeling to be going out and be like, they're pretty close to each other, or like, you know,
yeah,
it's just such a moral conundrum, and
yeah.
And so I've had a good time at them, I've felt pretty safe at the ones. Definitely been able to keep myself safe, like,
yeah,
not none of them to the point where you have this feeling like I might be too close to someone. It's always been spaced out.
How about like the vibe of the concert, if the musicians are only playing a handful of,
the know, vibe seems like people are ready to go. I think
they're ready to go. Yeah,
like they are ready to ready to experience some live music. And,
yeah, I'm hoping
in
maybe
all its
we
forms.
Can do something this summer or something, and play something somewhere. But it's hard to know where that somewhere is going to be, and whether or not places that were humming before are going to be humming now or after the pandemic. It's there's a lot of questions.
Awesome. Yeah, we hope to see you out, but for now we'll enjoy this new album. Thanks a bunch for joining us today, Tony.
I appreciate you having me on and letting me complain about being an old man and not making a record that sounds very good and whatever else I talked about.
People, you're gonna have people checking it out, that's for sure.
And where at?
At Bandcamp. The
Anthony Bennett Bandcamp.com. That's the only place it exists.
A streaming service you can trust.
Yeah, maybe the only one.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna play us out here. One more song from that album. This is Lies. It is the third song, and
Yeah, it's the probably the hardest rocker.
All right.
It's probably the most like my Dame's days, which are also now too. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a riff rocker though.
Let's hear it. It's time to rock out with Tony Bennett's Lies from the Fun's Over album right now here on The Local on KUMD.
Singes on how you package yourself.